very friendly spirit and great music here. It's always an encouragement. Tomorrow evening, I'll be sharing our ministry. We're missionaries down in Mexico, my wife and I. And then we work closely with my son and his family. And then my daughter and her husband and their family are up in the mountains a couple hours from us. But we'll share all that with you tomorrow evening. I hope you'll come back for the evening services. Tomorrow evening, you'll get to travel to Mexico. And then Tuesday evening to Hawaii. And then Wednesday evening, I believe, here in the United States, yeah. And it's going to be a good conference. I'd encourage you not to miss any of it. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to encourage you this morning to turn to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. The desire of my heart this morning is to be an encouragement to you. Your pastor continually has been an encouragement to me personally, to our family, and now we're getting to know you as a church, and that's a blessing. You folks are an encouragement to us, and I'm going to start out a little bit negative. Bear with me, okay? I'm going to start out kind of as a prophet of doom, but then we'll end positive, okay? I promise you. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you that I can be here this morning. And God, I can be in this church. And Lord, I pray that we would be an encouragement to each other this morning. God, I pray that through your word, your Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to our hearts. God, help us to be receptive. And God, help us to realize that it's not a coincidence that we're here this morning, but by your providence, your divine plan, that you have something special for each one of us to help us and to encourage us. And Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts and our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. We live down in Mexico, and you know, missionaries that are in a foreign country oftentimes are very jealous for their country. The United States. We love Mexico, but it's a mission field. And the United States sends missionaries, and the United States has a Christian heritage, and the United States is home. You know, in one sense, we feel like Mexico is home, but really the United States is home, and we're jealous. And, you know, now in this day and age of technology, on my cell phone, I can keep track of what's happening in the United States, the news that is happening in the United States and around the world. And it's very disturbing what is happening in our country. And it's interesting to me. I can look back before the elections, the last presidential elections, and I don't want to get into politics or anything like that. But the things that were happening, I thought, man, what is happening to our country? And then I realized that I get kind of desensitized to it. You know, some of these things that were just shocking to me a few years ago, you begin to get kind of decent. And then something else happens that just completely shocks you, and you think, what is going on? Not only in our country, but around the world. And it's amazing what's happening in the world today. It's amazing what's happening. You know, Mexico, we expect it. Violence and corruption, it's a mission field. But When those things happen in the United States, it's very disturbing. And we see a trend happening, and the trend is a downward trend. But the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. And you know, a lot of times it's not just what's happening outside of our family or outside of our lives, but sometimes it's what's happening in the family or inside of our own lives that can be disturbing. And, you know, we're in a spiritual warfare, and Satan is winning a lot of victories. But Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. And I'd like to give you three reasons this morning why we should not let our heart be troubled. And three very simple reasons. Number one, because we are on our way to a better place. We are on our way to a better place. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And then at the end he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I remember I grew up in southern Arizona. My father was a pastor. And there was a time that he was pastoring in the Tucson area. And years ago, there was a good Bible college here in Phoenix. I won't even mention the name because it's not good anymore. But we moved to Phoenix, and then we moved back to Tucson. And my father pastored in different places around Arizona. Let's see, that was about 1,000 years ago. And I remember as a young child, that was before I-10. Remember the old highway? Do any of you remember the old highway that went from Tucson to Phoenix, just two-lane, went through Casa Grande and Eloy and through all the little farming towns? And when we'd come to Phoenix, and it seemed like it'd take forever. Probably in those days, it probably took 2.5 hours. So now you can do it in about 2 hours. And I think, man, this trip is taking forever. But finally, we'd make it to Phoenix. Now I drive from Tucson to Phoenix. Tomorrow night after the service, I'll head back to Tucson, and it'll just go by like that. I'll get to thinking, and I'll have a cup of coffee in my hand, and before you know it, the trip will be over. And what I find is, as I get older, time passes quicker. When I was a young boy, I did not like school, and I did not do very well in school. And when I was a young boy, we'd get out of school for the summertime. That was back when you got 3 full months. And in my mind, I'm out of school, and I'm never going to have to go back to school because summertime lasts 3 months, and that's like forever, you know. And now that I'm older, 3 months goes by like that. A year goes by like that. You know, I make plans for the year, and it seems like, man, it's already time to make plans for the new year. And the older I get, the more I realize how short this life is. We're on our way to a better place. This time on earth is like a trip, and we're going home. We're going to a better place. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 15, it talks about those old saints. And the Bible says that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They knew they were just on a trip home. This world is not our home. And they declared plainly that they sought another country. And, you know, really our home is heaven. And we're on our way home. Now, here's the thing. Every good missionary has to like traveling. Now, brother, at this moment in time, you might not like traveling anymore. But you'll get over there on the field, and it won't be long, and you'll be itching to take another trip. And it gets in our blood. And I like trips. I like to take trips. And we're about 10 hours from the border, and we'll zip up. Maybe sometimes I'll come up. And there's been times when I've taken the bus up to do business. I've ridden the bus all night long, do some business that day, and then that night catch the bus to go back home. And I enjoy traveling. God wants us to enjoy the trip. Now, there's a lot happening on this trip that's very disturbing. But it's only a trip home. This is not home. And what's happening in this world will soon be over. And soon we'll be in a better place. In a perfect place with our Heavenly Father. And we're on our way to a better place. In just a little while, we're going to be home. God wants us to enjoy the trip home. God wants us to enjoy the trip. There's a lot of discouraged, defeated, bitter Christians. And God does not want us to lose our joy. And God gives us simple things to enjoy. I got up this morning. I like coffee. And I went out early this morning. And I was drinking coffee and watching the sunrise. And what a beautiful morning in Phoenix it was this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says that God, now listen to what it says. Do you believe God's word? God gives us richly all things to enjoy. There's something I've always appreciated about your pastor, and he actually said it this morning. He said, he has this little phrase, and Liz used to say this. His daughter was down with us down in Mexico for 4 years, and what a blessing she was. And his daughter, Liz picked up this phrase from you, brother. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. And it should be. And God wants it to be. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. And God wants us. We're on our way home. We're going to be home in just a little while. And God, in spite of all the disturbing things that are happening around us and sometimes in us, God wants us to have a joyful spirit. God wants us to enjoy this life. And, you know, just that every day, the simple blessings that he gives us to enjoy. And a lot of times we're so caught up in the artificial, temporal things of this world that we can't enjoy the simple blessings that God is giving us every day. Let not your heart be troubled, because we are on our way to a better place. You know, when we were on deputation, we went on deputation, went to Mexico, and God allowed us to, in the Mayo River Valley, to establish some churches down there and train some pastors. And then God led us up to New Mexico and pastored a Calvary Baptist Church in Silver City, New Mexico, for 8 years. And never thought I'd go back to Mexico as a missionary. I enjoyed pastoring, loved pastoring, and I thought for the rest of my life I'd be pastoring in the States. And then God began to put in my heart a desire to go back into Mexico, actually a burden for a second-generation Christians coming up in those churches that needed a Bible institute. And I was trying to talk other missionaries into going over into that area and starting a Bible institute, a Bible college. And we began to realize that God was calling us back to Mexico. So I was about 45 years old. Our kids were all pretty big. Our two oldest girls were in Bible college. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could travel, take a trip one more time together as a family? Our kids are going to be all grown up and married. And wouldn't it be great if we could be together one more time? And so I gathered them together and talked to the girls. I said, would you girls consider taking a year off from Bible college and traveling with us for about a year? And they, everybody was agreeable. They said, yeah, we'll do that. Had a little 27-foot travel trailer with no slide outs, you know. Four big kids, and we lived in that thing for 5 years. After we got to Mexico, we kept living in that thing, and it was a blessing. And I said to them, I said, now, we're going to go on deputation. We're going to be traveling around the United States. You guys think about it. Pick a place in the United States that you would like to visit, and I'll schedule some churches around that place, and we'll go visit that place. And so all the places in the United States, you know, to go visit, you know, I was thinking, okay, Niagara Falls or Yellowstone National Park or some very scenic, beautiful. New York City is the place they wanted to go. New York City, and I had to keep my promise, and so we went to New York City, and New York City, I had New Mexico license plates. And I think people would honk at me just because they saw those New Mexico, this hick, and they'd lay on the horn, you know. And I was stressed out trying to drive, trying to find a parking spot. And people in New York are different, let me tell you. And you'd see a guy, and he'd be out on the street corner, and he'd be just talking away and making motions. And I'd look, and there wasn't anybody there. He was all alone. And the skyscrapers, and I thought, man, I would hate to live here. This would be a terrible place to live. But you know what? It was a great place to visit. we just had a great time there. We spent 2 days there and just had a wonderful time, went to all the different places, Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty, Times Square, Central Park. It was a great place to visit. I'd hate to live in New York City, but it was a great place to visit. We're in Mexico. Now, let me tell you this. Mexico is a rough place to live. A lot of corruption, a lot of parasites, a lot of violence, a lot of different things that make Mexico a hard place to live. Honestly, humanly speaking, I love Mexico. I was telling the pastor this morning that I love our people down there, and I just want to spend the rest of my life down there as a missionary, if God would let me. But humanly speaking, if it wasn't for the people, I would not live in Mexico. Mexico would not be a place that I would want to live. But it's a great place to visit. It really is. Your pastor knows this. He's been down to visit a number of times. And we've had a number of groups come down. If you come down to visit us, I can guarantee you, I don't think we've ever had a group come down that didn't say, we want to come back. We'll take you and get you some Sonoran-style hot dogs. Oh, they're great. I'm making myself hungry. Tacos de carne asada. Ooh. We'll take you out to the ocean, about half an hour away. We'll take you out, up to the city of Alamos, started way back in the 1600s, colonial style, cobblestone streets, very beautiful. And it's a wonderful place to visit. But you probably wouldn't want to live there. Now listen, this old world is it's a rough place to live. But listen, we're just visiting here. We're just passing through. We're on our way home. You know, I've decided Mexico's a rough place to live, and it's a wonderful place to visit. So I've decided that what I'm going to do is I'm just going to visit Mexico for another 20 or 30 years, then go on home to heaven. Let not your heart be troubled, because we are on our way to a better place. We ought to be joyful Christians. Don't lose your joy. Secondly, let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus is with us on the trip. I don't know how that anybody could go through this life without the Lord Jesus. But Jesus goes with us on the trip. Now, we have a contradiction here in God's word. It says in the latter part of verse 2, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go away. I'm going to leave you. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to leave. There we go. Okay. Okay, you with me? Maybe that was to get your attention. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Now look what it says in verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so Jesus lives in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. That's something that's hard for us to understand, but Jesus, what this all is saying is that Jesus is with us. We're on our way home, and Jesus is with us. We have four little children in our orphanage. David, a little boy, and his older sisters. His oldest sister is 16 years old. Claribel, his second sister, Susana. What precious children. You would not believe, I can't even tell you the things that those kids have been through. I'll tell you one thing that they've been through, and this is just a fraction of what they've been through. Two of them almost died from a disease that you get from animals. But the mother had left the father. The father, David, was an alcoholic, and the mother left the father with the little children. And she was fleeing away. That one day had little David in her arms with the three little girls, and she was running away. The man that she was living with, she had left David, the alcoholic, and moved in with a man, and that man was abusive, and she was running away from him. And as she was running away, he came to the door with a pistol and shot her dead at the kids' feet. And listen, that's just a partial what those kids have been through. And yet you would see them today and they're just very happy children. And that's what the Lord Jesus does. And their father, David, who had been an alcoholic, those little children are saved and baptized. They're not so little anymore. And their father, David, trusted the Lord as his Savior, followed the Lord in believers' baptism, is faithful to church. God has changed his life. What a difference. You know, this old trip home without the Lord is a rough trip. But with the Lord, he gives us richly all things to enjoy. He's with us. He's the comforter. When things get rough, he comforts us and he directs us. Let not your heart be troubled because we are on our way to a better place. Secondly, let not your heart be troubled because Jesus is with us on the trip home. Now, I've got about 4 minutes to preach my message. All that was introduction. Right. Are you with me? Number three, let not your heart be troubled because on this trip home, on this short journey home, we're going to be home before we know it. We're going to say, right now, especially younger people are saying, boy, this is a long trip. Life is long. You know, those of us that are getting a little older are saying, boy, life is pretty short. And we're all going to get home and we're going to say, boy, that was a quick trip home. And on this short trip home, we have an incredible privilege and opportunity. And I want to encourage you this morning not to miss that opportunity. Listen, why are we here? Well, the reason we are here on this earth is to read the Bible, memorize as much as we can of it, and become Bible scholars. Now, I don't have a memory. I have a wife. I don't have a memory. But you know what? This person here that has not been diligent to read God's Word, this Christian that has not been diligent to read or study God's Word, when he dies and goes home to heaven, he's going to know the Word of God just like the Bible scholar that spent 8 hours a day studying God's Word. Right. Now, don't misunderstand me. Reading God's Word is very, very important. No, our purpose on earth is to be good. And so we have this Christian here, and he has a list of rules. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Do this. And he's got all these rules and living a good, clean, moral life. And then there's Joe Carnal over here that doesn't even go to church. He should. You know, we ought to live a good, clean life. And they go to heaven. They die and go to heaven. And that carnal Christian is going to be just as much a saint as that guy that had that long list of rules. Now, don't misunderstand me. We ought to be pure Christians. And I can go into a whole lot of other different things, but those are good things, but those are not our purpose on this earth. And the Bible's very clear. It's just a very simple thing. This is the body of Christ. And our purpose is the same purpose that Jesus Christ had. And Jesus Christ said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the only reason that we're on this earth this morning is because there are people on their way to heaven. On their way to hell that God loves, just like he loves us. He wants us, right now, he wants to take us out of this rough old world, and he wants us to be home in a perfect place with him by his side. But the reason he's left us on this earth is because we have a purpose. And our purpose as a church is to seek and to save that which is lost. It's an incredible opportunity. It's the same purpose that Jesus Christ had. You say, well, Brother Dorr, I'm just not very good at that. Well, listen, you are good at that. Stay with me. Verse 12. Jesus is saying, hey, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to go away. I'll send you a comforter. But while I'm gone and you're here, you have a purpose. And he says to them, and he says to us, these words are preserved for us. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Are you with me? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Okay, this is your verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and has read the Bible through 5 times completely and has gone through Bible college and is going to just the right church and always wears a tie, No. What does it say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that includes a lot of people, the works that I do shall he do also. Wow. Now, do we believe God's word? And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, Brother Dorr, I'm just not seeing that happening. Let me tell you a little story, and then read a verse and we'll be done. When we first went into the Mayo River Valley, this was about 30 years ago, I guess. We had a Bible Institute, and we had some guys that would go out, and we'd go to different villages. In our valley, there's over 600 villages. It's a valley that's probably 35 miles long and 35 miles wide. A farming valley, the Mayo Indian tribe, over 600 villages, and some of them are just a cluster of houses. And we'd go to these little villages, and we had two brothers. Boy, they could sing and play the guitar. And one brother, Narciso, would play the guitar. And then the other brother, Arnulfo, would play the guitarrón. And a guitarrón looks like a pregnant guitar. It's really, you got to play it like this. If you ever seen a mariachi band, you've seen a guitarrón. And Arnulfo, the guy that played it, looked like he was pregnant. And he had short arms. And, I mean, he really had to reach over there to play that guitar. But, boy, they could play and they could sing. And we'd get out on a street corner someplace, or just on a dirt road, and we'd start singing some Bible choruses, and people would come out of their houses, and we'd have a group of people. And we went to a lot of different villages, and we went out to a little village called Sapochopo, little Indian village. And we must have gone there for once a week for about 2 months, and we got discouraged. And we thought, well, nothing is happening here. You know, we're preaching the gospel other places. Folks would trust in the Lord, and we just didn't see anything happening. So we finally got together, and we decided, hey, let's move on down the road and go to another place that's more receptive. And so we did. And that was about 30 years ago. In that time, we started some churches in other areas and then pastored up in the United States. And then we've been back in Mexico for about 15 years. And where we are now is probably 10 miles from Sapochopo, that little village. We're on the other side of the river. And our church has some bus routes. And one of our guys extended his bus route. And without knowing that I had been there many years ago, he started visiting in that little tiny village of Sapochopo. And he was visiting. And he knocked on a door and invited them to church. And the fellow came out and he says, how's the hermano Nelson? How's Brother Nelson? And he thought, well, he must know Brother Nelson. And he said, 30 years ago, he used to come out to our village, and they would preach out on the street. And back in those days, I was a rebellious young man in my early 20s, and I'd stand back in the shadows, and more to criticize him than anything else. But the gospel was planted in my heart. And then I got married, and a few years later, we began to have problems. And I knew that Jesus loved me, and that if I would pray to him and trust him, he would come into my heart, and he would help me. And Ramon trusted the Lord as his Savior. We've got Moises. He's one of our Bible graduates. He's on staff. But his father, when he was 8 years old, his mom would take him out to those meetings. And Moises, his grandma comes, his mom comes, his stepdad comes. I don't know how many cousins, aunts, and uncle come to our church. Ramon's father trusted the Lord as his Savior. Ramon's wife, Ramon has passed away not too long ago, but his wife comes to church now. Lupe used to come to those meetings. And he and his wife and his son are faithful members in our church now. What I'm saying is, this is what I'm saying. What we thought was a lost cause, we didn't see anything happen. We felt very unsuccessful. Was really the place that, one of the places that produced the most fruit. And listen, This deal, faith promised giving, requires faith on two ends. It requires faith to trust the Lord to put money in the offering plate. Lord, I don't have this money. You know, we preach that to our people, and our people do not have the money. They don't have enough money to get all the groceries they need. And it's truly faith for them to give. So we need faith to be able to give. But we also need faith that God is producing a harvest. And oftentimes we feel insignificant. And we don't see anything happening. But that does not mean that nothing is happening. When we get to heaven, are you with me? God is not going to say to us, "Well done, thou good and successful servant." And oftentimes we don't feel successful. My father was my hero, and I don't think he ever pastored a church over 35, 40 people. But he was a great man of God. And I'm just sure that in heaven he has a tremendous harvest. God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And by faith, we give the faith promise missions. By faith, we take the gospel to other places. And we might not see a lot happening. But that does not mean that a lot is not happening. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I would encourage you this week to pray. And listen, this is our purpose. Missions is our purpose. And if we are not participating in missions by giving and going, then we're living this life in vain. And we have a wonderful opportunity. You know, it's not just a wonderful thing to give and be a participant in faith promise giving, but it's a wonderful thing to see God begin to work in our lives. A lot of times we give what we don't have, and we see God provide. And what a wonderful thing to see God's powerful hand in our life. And I'd encourage you today and through this missions conference just to keep an open mind and to pray, "Lord, what's your will for me? Lord, what can I do? Could I do something? Lord, could you use me?" And God has a wonderful purpose for each one of us. Pastor?